Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. This edition of Vegan Nation is the second in the series of Voices of Women, Return of the Sacred Feminine. And I am very honored and happy that joining us is Judy Carmen. Judy is an environmentalist, justice, peace, and vegan activist. She is the author of several books, as well as the co-founder of Circle of Compassion, Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals. And she's also involved in animal rescue with disaster relief and vegan spirituality. Welcome, Judy. I'm so grateful that you're joining us.
Hi, Marlene. I'm glad to be here. I love the theme of what you're doing, the awakening of the divine feminine. And I've just been glancing over my little booklet, The Awakening of Universal Motherhood. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Amma, the Hugging Saint.
Yeah.
It is about her receiving the award at the United Nations. And she talks about how extremely important it is for women to gain their voice. And when she talks about motherhood, she's talking about being a mother to all life, not necessarily being a mother to children of your own, you know, or having children, I mean. She's not saying every woman has to have a child. She's saying awaken the motherhood within. So important to get that idea out there. Get women empowered.
Yes. There is a full plate of news with you. So let's begin with Red Rover Responders Disaster Relief and Animal Outreach of Kansas.
When I was deployed for some disasters, it was through the Red Rover. Animal Outreach of Kansas is a local group. We did a thing yesterday. We went to the farm tour yesterday, and it was a lot of so-called humane animal farms, and asked lots and lots of questions, and we're going to be writing an article about that. And last week, we went to a Sierra Club film called Planeat, P-L-A-N, capital E-A-T, and they showed that video, and it's about being vegan.
Wow.
And the benefits of that. And so Joanne Farb, she was on the panel, and it was just great. We got a lot of information out there. She did, I should say. So AOK does mostly local things, and then the disasters are just some things that I did because I got some training in that.
Wonderful. And you are very busy with your writing as well as your activism with disaster relief and so many things. And I'd like to ask about your work with writing for the Sierra Club Kansas chapter.
Well, I just feel very, very blessed that I've been allowed to do that. The editor of the newsletter asked me to do a column every quarter, it comes out quarterly, called Eating as Though the Earth Matters. And I jumped at the chance, and every time I write, I think they're going to stop me this time. But they never do. They let me write the next one. And then I got a call about coming to a film showing of Planeat, which is all about vegan eating, and because I was writing that column. And in the meantime, I don't know that this has anything to do with what I have written. It may have something to do with the film Cowspiracy, where they showed that the Sierra Club didn't even seem to consider animal agriculture that important. I don't know if anybody that's listening saw Cowspiracy. If you have not seen it, you have got to see it. It's a very important film to share. But anyway, since then, since Cowspiracy came out, you can find on the sierraclub.org/policy/agriculture, their food policy includes, and this is fairly new, this statement: personal dietary choices that minimize or eliminate meat and animal products should be encouraged due to their many benefits, including reducing greenhouse gas impacts, water pollution, and inhumane treatment of animals. So they even included inhumane treatment of animals. So this is an absolutely huge step for a group that's that big and that includes members who are ranchers and hunters and fishermen. So, the Sierra Club is making some strides, and to me, that is one of the very hopeful signs. So, I really enjoy writing that column, and like I said, I'm always surprised when they let me write another one, because I'm always very direct in what I'm saying, that there's really no other choice. We have to stop dominating and exploiting animals at every level, the pharmaceutical industry and the animal agriculture industry, fur and so forth. And of course, it's easy to find the information about the horror of what is going on and what it does. I believe it was one of the organic vegetable processors that sells frozen vegetables. They had to recall a bunch of their frozen beans because they'd been contaminated by a pig farm, and people were being contaminated with listeria from their beans. And of course, these pigs, again talking about the feminine, are confined in these sow crates, can't move around, can't make nests for their babies and nurture their babies and love them the way they want to. So it's another domination of the feminine animals, the feminine principle, and the feminine in everyone's heart. The people who work in those pig farms, they are being dominated and asked to close their hearts to the beauty of motherhood. But yeah, that's my Sierra story. I always end with, there's good news. We don't have to wait for the government to make new laws. If everyone goes vegan now, look at what that would do for the earth. And this beautiful solution that's right in our own kitchens.
Yes. So I would like to touch just upon your car and truck that's run by veggie oil.
Oh, our vegan car and truck. Now we collect veggie oil, used veggie oil, at some local restaurants that are fairly clean restaurants, so the oil is pretty clean. They just use it to do their chips and that sort of thing. And we just filter it through a filter, and then we run the car and the truck on that. And we've got solar panels that provide our electricity for our home. And then we have solar batch heaters that heat water that runs under the floor and heats the floor. And we got a garden. I think as time goes on and more people understand what veganism is, that it means doing the most good and the least harm to all creatures, then we begin to change this and then that and then the other thing. And it takes a long time because we're trying actually to move away from the dominator culture, which has infiltrated nearly everything we do and eat and use. Let's look and see, was anyone harmed, any people or any animals harmed for this product? And if they were, is there a way to buy them used so we don't support that industry? And if we just absolutely have to have it, any little change is going to make a huge difference. And I like to tell people, you know, you make a huge difference just by going vegan and in what you eat. And then once you start going vegan in other areas of your life, it just gets more and more profound in the love that you have brought to the earth. And I think it's important to realize that everything we do for love is never lost. It just grows and grows, and until what we're seeing now, eventually love will just overpower all this evil, because there will be so much of it on the planet that that we've all brought here with our actions and with just our intentions. And so I just see more and more love being brought to this earth, and that's what gives me so much hope that it will eventually just simply overpower the evil and the violence, and we can do it. And we don't need to wait for the government, because that's going to take too long.
It's time to take a break. We're joined by Judy Carmen of Kansas. After the break, Judy will be giving us details about her books, as well as insights into the rise of the sacred feminine.
Wahoo! This is Annie Souza with Little Red and the Riders, coming to you from 91.3 FM, WCUW, Worcester's community radio station.
Hi, this is Paola from Rome, Italy, urging you to support community radio WCUW Worcester with a pledge of support to 508-753-2284. Ciao, sono Paola di Roma, dall'Italia. Vi invito a sostenere Community Radio WCUW Worcester chiamando 508-75-32-284. Ciao a tutti. Can you hear me,
neighbor? Once again, I gotta tell you about the benefit we have coming up called Blues Benefit. It's down at JJ's October 10th. Starts at 4 o'clock sharp with the first band. A second band goes on at 5, and so on and so forth throughout the night. We've got Mission of Blues. We've got Chris Fitz Band. Willie J. Laws will make an appearance. Shikaboo, We and Mrs. Jones, and Blue Honey. We love those guys. They're great. Blue Honey's been with us before.
Hey, thanks, Mike. That's the Blues Benefit this Saturday. Begins at 4 p.m. at JJ's, where Route 9 crosses 20 in Northborough.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, and we are very fortunate to be joined by vegan author Judy Carmen. I have read all three of your books, and I've enjoyed all of them fully, and you have so much information, and you are a prophet, as well as relaying all the great tips from Martin Luther King Jr. about nonviolence and St. Francis and all of it. So I'd like to hear some of your input about Peace to All Beings, The Missing Piece, and Born to Be Blessed, Seven Keys to Joyful Living.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm very flattered that you read all those and liked them. I wrote Peace to All Beings as a book that people could give to people that they know who are activists, but not animal activists. That was one reason I wrote it, because I see the connection between all the social justice movements and the fact that animal rights has got to be part of all those movements, and we need to help the other activists see how important that is, because we can't have world peace if we're still killing animals. At the rate we're killing them, it's a massive war against animals, and it creates an energy field of tremendous violence around the world. And so while peace activists are trying to stop wars, but yet still eating meat, they're working against themselves. So that was one reason I wrote it. And then also I wrote it to help animal activists, because what we do involves a lot of trauma, not only to the animals, but also to ourselves, because we're bearing witness to unimaginable atrocities, things that a lot of people can't even bear to hear about. And we look at it so that we know about it and work to stop it. But it takes a lot out of us to do that. And so one thing I wanted to accomplish with the book was to help give animal activists a place of peace to go to maybe randomly go through the book and find a prayer or a thought that might comfort them or give them something to do. For example, you find yourself driving behind a truck full of cows going to slaughter, and you feel so helpless and so sad because you know where they're heading. And so I have a prayer that you can say, or words that you can say. Some people don't like the word prayer, but focused intention is another word for that. And it can be just your focused intention of sending them comfort and love and peace for them to get through the horrible ordeal that they're heading toward, and communicate with them and believe that we can communicate with animals. They're so sensitive. We know that. Any of us who have dogs and cats and horses, we know that they pick up on our emotions. And so if we send them peace and love and say, we are working, we are not going to give up until all of you are free, that somehow we have comforted them just a little bit in their last hours. So that's some of the reasons that I wrote Peace to All Beings. And there's a lot of little stories in there. One of them that I remembered, because we're talking about the voices of women and return of the sacred feminine, there's a story in Peace to All Beings about a woman who was walking along the side of a river in India, and her baby slipped out of her arms and into the river. And of course, she was terrified. She did not know how to swim. Well, suddenly, a little monkey who had been watching this jumped into the river, which frightened the woman even more, but the monkey grabbed the baby and brought the baby to the mother, laid the baby at her feet. And that gives me chills to think about that. It is a true story, and it's just such a beautiful picture of divine motherhood, the sacred feminine, which embodies nurturing, protection, taking care of all life, no matter whose life it is. So, and then the Missing Piece book that Tina Volpe and I wrote, it's called The Missing Piece, P-E-A-C-E, The Hidden Power of Our Kinship with Animals, is a collection of stories, because after I wrote Peace to All Beings, I began receiving lots of stories from people about how much peace they had actually gained by going vegan, becoming animal activists, which is ironic in a way, because we think of, well, this is traumatic work, but on the other hand, the side benefit is that sense of inner peace, because we know we have brought our true heart into harmony with what we're doing in our lives. We're no longer eating them or wearing them or participating in using them, and we're working for their freedom. And so there's a tremendous inner peace that comes with that. And so I've collected lots of stories, and Tina did too, so we put them together. But there's some stories from, oh, there's one from Steve Hindy about how he quit fishing and why, and also some butchers who suddenly were awakened to what they were doing and had to stop. Yeah, there's some really great stories in there.
And that name is ideal. It's the truth, the missing piece, P-E-A-C-E. And it makes so much sense. Thank you for bringing that awareness into humanity.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I think we make the point in the book that there's lots of people searching for inner peace. Lots of Buddhist yoga practitioners, people like that, who are deliberately trying to find that inner peace and not succeeding because they're still eating violence. If you're eating animals who've been violently killed, no matter how they've been raised, there's tremendous amount of fear in the meat itself or the eggs or the milk, and just suffering, so much suffering. And it doesn't matter how often you bless that food before you eat it, you're still eating violence and domination. And, you know, relating it back to your theme of the divine feminine, the sacred feminine, returning a lot of the violence done towards animals is done towards female animals. Obviously, dairy and eggs made to suffer for years as mothers. And we went and visited on this farm tour that we had in the Lawrence, Kansas area, Douglas County farm tour. We went, we wanted to see this dairy that purports to be humane and asked them a lot of questions. They say that their product comes from happy cows, you know, that whole line of thinking. These cows have their babies taken away at birth, just like all dairies. And there were many other things that they do at that dairy that they do at industrial dairies, just as cruel. Of course, they put them on a rape rack, that's what the industry calls it, a rape rack, to impregnate them. And they do it every single year. And then, of course, we asked, so then what happens when they don't produce milk, enough milk? And she said, well, you know, we send them to slaughter. And so it was very disturbing because, not that we expected to find anything any different, but the attitude was disturbing, and that it came from a woman. And we also met another woman farmer who kills her animals on her land and has her children help her, ages 5, 7, and 13. Those are all examples, I think, of women whom we need desperately to awaken to their divine feminine energy, who have completely given in to the domination idea that it's all right to dominate other creatures and that we're somehow superior. And of course, that has, as we know, that has led to thousands of years of domination of women and children and animals.
It's so clear. It's very simple, the golden rule.
Right. Yeah. That's really all it is. And that's where we're heading. And I believe that we are awakening those qualities in the men and women. And I think veganism is symbolic of that because it brings the feminine qualities of compassion and nurturing around to include animals and, of course, nature as well. And nature we think of as feminine. Many people talk about what's been done to Mother Earth as very similar to what's been done to women in general and to animals. I have a picture I took at a bait shop, and it was so awful that I took a picture of it thinking, surely this can't still be happening. But it's a picture, try to describe it, it says Happy Hooker Bait on it in big letters. This was in the window of a gas station that also sold bait. And then on either side of those words, there are hooks. And then hanging on to the hooks are glamorous-looking woman with a body of a worm. And the worm is colored red, like a red evening gown. And she has a fancy hairdo and makeup and black long gloves on. The subjugation of women and animals is all encompassed in that one little sign, Happy Hooker Bait. And it brings together sexuality and animal abuse and disrespect for animals and women and seeing women as bait.
Yes, and how that affects the minds of young boys and young girls.
Yes, right. It's part of the brainwashing that's been going on for the last 10,000 years. Around 10,000 years ago, it is believed that animal agriculture started. And Will Tuttle talks a lot about this domination mindset that we are living under now. But we are about to arise out of that and come into an age of compassion And I think when we talk about the return of the sacred feminine, there's a lot of evidence that there were cultures before animal agriculture and during that were, you know, ravaged by animal agriculture societies, but that the sacred feminine was considered an important part of their culture, and that it is returning, and that we are realizing that there's that quality of compassion and empathy and love for all beings is in, it's in men's hearts and women's hearts, but it has been repressed for all these thousands of years. And so we now have this woman we met yesterday who thinks it's okay to kill animals and have her children help her. And this is going to change because she has the capacity to awaken her divine feminine within her heart, as do all men. And so it's a matter of getting the information out there and asking lots of questions, getting people to question authority, question traditions, and question their own thoughts. Amma told that men in general, she said, are conditioned to belittle and condemn women and to not consider them of value other than value to men. We're here to show the world what the return of the sacred feminine can look like in men and women alike, and move away from this domination mindset that we're in to a mindset of cooperation and compassion for all life. Once people get that concept that animals are not ours to use, once that gets into the psyche of human beings, and here I was in Kansas and it finally got here, and I went, now I get the whole picture. So we're going to see huge, huge changes in the way almost everything is done.
Thank you, Judy. And do you have any contact information to leave for our listeners?
Well, I sure do. I have a blog, and that is peacetoallbeings.com. And you can contact me at judycarmen@ymail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And that's a letter Y, not a G. A lot of people think it's a G. And then also through the circleofcompassion.org. And you can also join the Prayer Circle for Animals Facebook. And also the prayer flags for animals are on the peacetoallbeings.com blog. And those are really fun. People have been hanging those flags up all over the world. They're in the Tibetan tradition of prayer flags, blowing prayers in the wind and spreading the message of love for all beings around the world on the wind.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I just appreciate you so much for doing this, Marlene, and having this radio show to hear the voices of women and the return of the sacred feminine.
Thank you, Judy. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much, Marlene.
We've been joined by vegan author Judy Carmen. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.
A supporter of WCUW, John Henry's Hammer presents Paul Rochelle and Annie Raines on Saturday, October 17th, inside the First U Church, 90 Main Street, Worcester. A quote, after hearing Paul Rochelle's blues, you'll have a hard time denying the power of such bare, organic, and emotive sound. Doors open at 7 p.m., 7:30 show. Advance tickets at brownpapertickets.com. Discount for WCUW members at the door. Paul Rochelle and Annie Raines, Saturday, October 17th, at John Henry's Hammer, WCUW.org, or 508-753-1012 for details.